Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله مرحبا واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا صدق الله العظيم. الله the mightiest has spoken truth. An expression of this is, O social creature, be regardful of your guardian evolver who created you from a single spiritual essence created from it its mate, and scattered from them countless men and women. And be regardful of Allah, to whom you implore for your mutual rights, and be regardful of the wounds, be regardful of the ties of relationships. Indeed, Allah is ever over you as a supervisor. Sadaqallahu alayhi. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الرجل على الدين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالله. صدق رسول الله. He said, man will follow or man will be upon the way of life of his best friend. soul. Take a good view as to who you decide to befriend. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We're continuing on this topic, our family, our future. And we have been processing through the stages involved with family. The original picture, which is like, almost like, well, at least 4 months ago, it was counting by weeks, to address the five daruri, the five mandatory aspects of building ummah. That's the master arc title. What are the obligations for building ummah? Because that's the master mission. That is forever. That's the mission forever. And it's tied very explicitly to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. I am making in the earth a khalifa. Building ummah and making khalifa, those two things are the same thing. Because when understood in functional application terms, an ummah is a culture, and that culture becomes the womb for all the people or persons in it. Khalifa is, by description, a divinely inspired republic. It means not, it doesn't mean a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It doesn't mean that. It means an entire civilization grounded in the oneness of Allah and upon and respect for the nature of the original human being, that is the human being, the original nature, a society, a culture, an order that respects God's will and human nature. And then you build out everything else, education, business, governance, and whatever I'm missing, culture. Those things are built out with respect for both. What is God's will for any of those? What is God's will for governance? What is God's will for culture? What is God's will for education? What is God's will for economics? And your institutions respect that, and they're built on that. And the guidepost for the correctness of it is, how does it facilitate the destiny of the human being as intended by Allah? How does it establish on the earth? How does it support the establishment on the earth? What am I talking about? Your government, your school, your culture, your economics. How does it facilitate the destiny intended for it by Allah? And that's what all of us were to seek to bring about. So that's all inside of this, inside of وَلْتَقُمْ مِنْكُمْ عَمَّةٍ يَدَعُونَ إِلَّا الْخَيْرِ. We are inside family. Family, which is one of the pillars of ummah, culture, khalifa, in the manner I just described it to you. And we're talking about family. We've been speaking for weeks about family. What we basically finished the round is, we're really completing it. Well, I don't know if we complete that part today, but either way, the point is that we are working through parent to child, parent to child. Tarbiyah, education. Tarbiyah, parenting. You already know these things, but I do. I have to bring up some of you who haven't been here. I don't want to leave you completely in the dust. These. So we've talked about the movement. So when we talk about fitrah, all human beings are born and then fitrah. A part of this project is the cultivation of that human nature through its stages, to its fullness, so that it can play its role on the earth, in the society, as willed for it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the relationship between Rabb, the guardian evolver, and parenting, tarbiyah, and education, which really means to draw out tarbiyah. These are the things that we have to do So what we're seeking, to do is lay out the track that nature follows. It's the blueprint. It's the virtual design, virtual in the sense that it's real, but it is like the dotted line that needs to be connected in order to realize the hope that is, well, the will of Allah, our hope to realize Allah's will in this life. So you start with us as parents. We give birth to a child. Tarbiyah, it's our responsibility to cultivate that child. How do we know which way that they should go? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put inside of the human being a natural pattern. Our job is to provide the proper environment for it to grow naturally as we would for fruits and plants or any other kind of horticulture. So we provide the environment, and then the nature will do the rest. All right? So in terms of what we've addressed so far, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنْبَتْكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتٍ, He created you growing gradually from the earth like a plant. And what we're doing is seeing what are those stages. And we talked about four stages, and we're at the last stage of that movement, socialization. Right? That nature, it moves from the autoerotic to the heterosexual to the commitment to the parenting stage. All right? Most all of us went through this stage without having any idea that we were going through those stages. Most of us, when we became, who are parents, we had no idea about stage. I'm at stage four. And now it's my turn to do what I'm supposed to do to make sure that my children come up according to the pattern that Allah intends for them to come up on. We have been parents without that particular knowledge. But what we're talking about now is formally understanding that. And so we've gone through, we've explained the autoerotic stage. We've explained the heterosexual stage. We talked about how corruptive this world is with regard to the movement in that pattern, so much so that it is obstructing. We live in a society and culture that is obstructing the natural movement from phase one to phase two to phase three to phase four, and they have complete movement and complete systems of communication and cultural manifestations whose specific design and motivation is to be a roadblock to the natural growth and evolution of males and females to men and women. And that's one of the reasons that I chose to open the khutbah with Surah 4, Ayah 1, because really the whole blueprint is there. I won't go over it now. Any of you who heard any of our marriage khutbahs, you've heard us go through the blueprint that is. That is the master design right there. The master design is we have a nature, that we have the spiritual aspect, we have the parents that come together as mother and father, then they give birth to boys and girls, but they also provide the example. They provide the model. That is, the way that the father relates to the mother is a shining example that influences and impacts the children that are coming under their influence. So the little girl, let's imagine that you have a little girl and a little boy, you have a mother and a father, little girl, little boy. The girl is looking at the relationship between the father and the mother. The boy is looking at the relationship between the father and the mother. And they are learning from that what's relevant to them, because the girl is going to relate more to the mother and the boy is going to relate more to the father. And while the boy is going to, how can I say, peripherally get benefit from the way that the mother responds to the father, he's mainly looking at the way that the father is acting as his model for behavior. So if the father's model is correct, inshallah, it doesn't matter. Whatever the father's model is, it is going to influence the boy. So that's why it's responsibility of Muslim male, Muslim parents, Muslim fathers, to make sure that we are modeling what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for the male, especially if you have children, or especially when you're a part of the influence of young males, whether they be your sons or not. You have a responsibility by the model that you are setting, because you're going to be influencing them, because they're going to be looking at you. Okay, he's a male, I'm a male. How does he do? Okay, this is what he does? Oh, okay, well, I'm going to do what he does. Then I have to be your son. That's what's going to happen automatically. So this is why it's the responsibility for the men to know what Allah has ordered for men, and for the women to know what Allah has ordered for the women, and for the husband to know what Allah has ordered for the husband and the wife, and for the wife to know what Allah has ordered for the husband and the wife, so that they can act in a way that models for those young ones, whether it be their own sons or daughters or not, or just girls and boys who are members of the society that they are a part of, so that they help in the cultivation and the movement of those young girls and boys to becoming what Allah intended. Excuse me. So, all right. So, in all of that and more is in the first verse of the fourth surah. We're in the socialization phase of it, which is there has been a decision. Where did we start? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach them to pray when they're 7. Punish them when they don't pray at 10. Separate them in their beds at that time. It's a warning. It's a preparation that we are being told sexuality is coming. We're told that at 10 years old. The Prophet says, be concerned about that. Watch out for that. This time, this pre-adolescent time, is the time for you to get ready, because there's going to be a flood of hormones and other things going on when they get older than 10. That is going to be very hard for them to hear you, and very difficult for you to get them to respond to you, because of the fact that there's something else going on that's so intense in them that they really can't even hear what you say. But if you follow the schema that's been laid out, and fundamental to it is Ali radiallahu anhu, where it says play with them for 7 years, teach them the adab for 7 years, be their friend for 7 years, and after that, let loose the reins. So if as of 10 years old, you've been doing what you're to do as a parent, then when it comes to that next phase, that final phase, which is the socialization phase, which is what we're talking about now, this is the 10 years old happening between 8 and 10. Now, but between 8 and 14. Now you're moving out of that to the socialization phase. So now they're in puberty. Being in puberty, let's be clear on what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said also, along with the other things that he said, when they reach puberty, they should marry. When they reach puberty, they should marry. Let me cover just a couple of footnotes that were brought to my attention the last time when we dealt with this. There are those who have very wrong ideas, older, as I said, adult men, no doubt women too, but if we had a percentile understanding of it, I'm sure the percentile of deviant mindset, probably more men than women. I don't fear contradiction in that. And there are those, whether it be here or whether it be in other cultures, that say, well, yeah, the Prophet said when they reach puberty, they should marry. So I'll marry her, and I'll marry her. Who is this? This dude's 70 years old. You know, it's like, now, I think you're on another program, homie. But that being said, they say, well, it's the Prophet. It's the Sunnah. And then, no, I'm not going to get into it. I'll go ahead and raise it just to let you know I'm not unconscious of it. That's the quote-unquote. It's controversial only for us, the issue of Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through which a great deal of enlightenment that remains with us today came, right? So again, that can be again another excuse that person used, but that's another thing. Let's move on. The other thing is the way that the nutrition and the environment is right now. You have young girls and boys, no doubt, that are reaching the physiological stages faster, having a lot to do with GMOs, you know, genetically modified organisms, Frankenfoods, they call them sometimes, All the things that's been added to the food to impact breast development, hip development, all those that coming in. We're talking 10 years old. Even this last thing, we're going to move past it. But even this Roe v. Wade thing, one of the quote-unquote test cases, critical cases or issues, right on the heels of that overturning of Roe v. Wade, was a 10-year-old girl that was molested and pregnant by whatever, some relative. But the point is, she was 10 years old. That's the point that I'm making right now, that she's 10 years old. And she got pregnant at 10 years old. So there's a phasing that's coming in terms of the nature of society as it is right now, where these pillars, these standards that the Prophet has set, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the religion doesn't change, okay? But you have to take other things into consideration all around. I'll say globally, all around. And as a reminder, the Quran says, fastabiqul khayrat, strive after what is best under the circumstances, okay? So you can't just, flat out, well, the Prophet said this, so that's so I'm going to do that. The Prophet said this, so I'm going to do that. Okay, well, have you really assessed the circumstance? Have you really looked at the circumstance to make that decision? Because if you don't assess the circumstance before you make such a decision, then you're not following the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course, you're not following the Quran. So everything that I say has to, of course, be set inside of that context. So let's go to where we are right now. Where we are right now, we're at the socialization phase, and I'm saying to you, all four of those phases fall into the category of socialization because it happens between the ages of 15 and 21. Socialization is 15 to 21. So what happens in that phase 15 to 21? Autoerotic, heterosexual, commitment, parenting. All that happens. In fact, it's taken into consideration at that phase. All right. So that means then that we as parents, I better just die so it's critical that the CD gets recorded. Okay. So the socialization phase, right? Ali radiallahu anhu. So now we're in the third part, but I just run it back. Play with him for 7 years. 0 to 7, we covered that. Teach him to adapt for 7 years. 8 to 14, we've covered that. Now we're in the socialization phase, 15 to 21. What's critical about that? Ali said, play with them for 7, teach them to adapt for 7, and then be their friend for 7. This is why she chose that particular hadith to bring to our mind at this phase, because the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a man will be upon the religion of his best friend. So be mindful of who you befriend. All right? Socialization as it relates to growing human beings in our family, just like the biology gets turned on in a very special way, the psychology also gets turned on a specific way. What are we saying? It means that the nature is calling for something particular at each phase. Nature is calling for play, and there's a function for play at step 0 to 7. Nature is calling for modeling and discipline because of that particular phase. If we do what we're supposed to do in phase one, do what we're supposed to do in phase two, okay, the next thing to do is to be mindful of the state of their socialization, be mindful of their friendships. The ideal parent was to be one who set themselves up to be qualified for that one at 15 to 21 to say, yeah, my mom is my best friend. My dad is my best friend. I mean, how rare is that, right? But, inshallah, given that we do what we, quote-unquote, are told to do, for our young people coming up through those phases, then there's a higher probability that we will hear that statement one day from our children. But, mashallah, I don't presume to know everything about us, but I think people are more, quote-unquote, like me than different than me. And I think most of us, we just didn't catch them windows. If you did,
praise your Lord Most High. But in general, no. So the point is that, okay, here we are at that phase with our child, okay, even though they are young adults at that point. What has happened up to this stage? In the first phase, 60% of every person, that's you and I, in the first phase, 60% of our personality was formed. Whether you were paying attention or not, doesn't matter. A person is you and I. When we were 0 to 8, our personalities were being formed whether we knew it or not. 60% of that was done whether we knew it or not. All right? We moved on. And when you get to the second phase, 8 to 14, then 90% of our personalities, all of us, 90% of our personalities, each one of us, I want to be real clear on that, 90% of who we were going to be for the rest of our life was shaped by the time we were 10 years old. You have to ask yourself, how much attention were we paying? If you happen to have children, blessed to have children. How many of us were paying attention at 10 years old with the awareness that 90% of their personality is about to be locked in by the time they're 10 years old? I dare say most of us didn't. Speaking for myself, I know I didn't. All right, so even so, whether you knew it or not, whether you participated or not, 90% of personality is getting formed at 10 years old in that phase, that modeling phase, 8 to 14. All right, same thing happens at 15 to 21. 15 to 21, the final 10% of who that human being is going to be for the rest of their life is being closed in, solidified between 15 and 21. And how does it happen? It happens by them confirming and being reinforced by peers, we'll call them peers, at least age peers, by their peers at that time. It's literally like coming into an environment. I'm talking about demographically speaking. They're entering into the environment of the 15 to the 21-year-olds and all the different places and ways that gets expressed. Nowadays, you got social media, you've got and all the other things, of course, school and other things like that. So all of that is the gathering of the 15 to 21. Okay, so our child, just as we did, we entered into that demographic space. And what were we actually doing? We were actually shopping for people to be our friends, shopping for people that we choose. Oh, I like him. Oh, I like her. Okay, so we choose our friends. So you think about your friends in, you know, late junior high school, middle school, as they call it, and especially really friends in high school. Your friends in high school, some of your friends in high school, maybe some of them are still friends right now. Again, maybe some of us, because some of us made that transition to the Nation of Islam, maybe some of our quote-unquote friends dropped off. But then we also have friends who's like, man, it don't matter. Man, you still moving? Come to me now. You still moving? Yeah. So they don't have any problem if they're your real friends. Okay, he's doing that, but he's still my man, right? I'm not doing it, but we could. So the idea is that we establish our friendship, and by establishing our friendship, that consolidates who we are. 100% of who we're going to be for the rest of our life was likely formed in high school, if not before. But it happened in the socialization phase. Now, it's critical, as we complete this point in the khutbah, it's critical for parents to take a conscious, be conscious of what? Taqullaha wal arham. Taqwa is being conscious, and being conscious in the way that Allah would have you be conscious. So when Allah says, taqullaha wal arham in the Quran, be mindful of Allah, be regardful of Allah with the proper regard, and be regardful of relationships, arham. So as parents now, we have to pay attention to the friendships that are being developed, that have been developed, because one thing it's going to tell us is who our child is. I'll have to use the term child right now. Who is their friend? Whoever is their best friend, that's who they are. So whether you don't know about your child, all you need to do is know their best friend. And once you know their best friend, then you have some idea about your child. And you might go, oh, no. That's how the choice, that's why the choice is made, right? And so respecting that, then we are mindful of socialization at that time, because as the prophet says, that the person is going to follow the religion of their friend. So then it's the responsibility of Muslims. This is why it's the responsibility of Muslims to create a situation whereby our children can find more friendships among the Muslims. And listen, all of our children, for all the reasons that I said out of all of these series of lectures, all of our children got some kind of influence from the world at large that we would prefer that they wouldn't have from the world at large, okay? That's a fact. You can deny it if you want to, but that's a fact, okay? But even so, the point is that unless they have decided that I hate Islam, I hate being a Muslim, I don't want to be a Muslim, but unless they made that decision, they're still in, but they're just not, quote-unquote, as committed as we would like for them to be. But that commitment has a lot to do with, well, am I going to be the only one? If I'm going to be the only one, that's death for the socialization phase. You're asking me to be something in an environment wherein there's no other, not even to choose from, there's no other young people my age that can reinforce what you've actually invited me to. See, that's why it takes a village. It takes all of us in order to do that. And we have to be serious enough to and understand the magnitude of the value of the presence and the danger of the absence of having such a womb at this stage for our children at that age. It's literally a life or death. Life or death for them. They can continue to live physically 60 years. But the point is, are they alive as human beings? Are they alive as Muslims? It's our responsibility to provide that womb, that environment, that circumstance, that respects that need in the nature so that it can help them make better choices, help them be in a better situation with regard to that. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين الله أكبر Well, so I hope that you appreciate the imperative, the need, I'm talking about the need yesterday, for Muslims to institutionalize activities that feed the socialization needs of our 15 to 21-year-olds. Have to do it. To not do it is to abdicate. Look that word up. It's to abdicate your responsibility and to surrender hope for our young ones needing socialization to whatever the future has to hold for them or whatever the future holds for them. Right. Well, do not think that it. Don't let the thought settle in your mind. What can I do? Well, it's not you. It's us. So when you hear and see activities that are intended to make a contribution to the socialization phase of our community and that demographic amongst us, you do your part. You do your part. Because if you don't, we'll have to answer for it. We'll answer for it in concrete terms in as much as, look what the boy has done now, look what the girl has done now, et cetera. Well, did we provide a means whereby they could be other than the way that they were? Or did we just, you know, let the wind blow as it will and say, they'll be all right, Allah's got everybody? It's what? Tie your camel and trust in Allah, right? So how important is this socialization phase? It's actually the last stop for real parenting influence. You miss that bus, you miss that plane, you miss that boat, you miss that train. It's like it's purely inshallah, mashallah, if you ever have any other opportunity to influence them. I won't go into it right now. But there's what you call significant emotional events. That 100% that I talked about, it can change. This has happened to most of us. I know certainly for me and any of us who are reverts, as general rule, as reverts, when we accept it as it was at that time, and for those of you who are here now, post Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam, you had a significant emotional event. Whatever you were as 100%, unless it was tended towards this, I'm talking about pure reverts, not people who are born into Muslim families, even though they have a reversion too. But if you came to a point where I want to be a Muslim, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, so all the windows were passed, you know, the play, the model, the modeling, whatever, all those windows were passed, and so after 21 even, for example, you decided to be a Muslim. How so? You had a significant emotional event. Something happened to make you believe that it's necessary for me to change my life. All right? So that's how you're an example of what will happen if, in fact, you don't get those phases addressed by a parent or your parent, then by Allah's will. And purely you should know that it is by the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you really became La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There's nothing in the world that was aiming at, well, we want to make sure this one gets to be a Muslim. No. The world had hell planned for you. Still got it planned, right? You just ain't accepting the invitation. So the point is that if you are a Muslim, after all those windows have been closed, then Islam comes into you and you come into al-Islam, you should be on your face praising the Lord of the world. And you look back at your partner, male and female, you say, man, that was me. It was my boy. I might have been there with him if I hadn't been with him. Yeah, grand theft auto, drugs, you know, other felonious acts, et cetera, et cetera. Some of y'all was on another page. I don't know, maybe you're on the Ivy League track, blah, blah, but then you realize, oh, man, this ain't really it. And then you get back from wherever you were, from wherever station we were in, Allah brought us to it. So the point is that to the extent that we are still in a position to influence the 0 to 21, then we have to take full opportunity to do that and to make that happen. Because the thinking that is expressed by that age group is purely the thinking of that age group. All right? That is, they will have the mind of the world of their demographic, and it won't be Islamic. And so that's what we have to have in mind. I'm going to mention a couple of things from the perspective of practicality to relate to what I'm having up, and I'll conclude the khutbah here. Human beings are what you call allelomimetic. Allelomimetic. What does that mean? Monkey see, monkey do. I'll just put it that way. Make it simple. Right? We learn by
behavior. Dr. Chilton Pearson, Evolution Zen, he has this, the idea, which is the truth, the model imperative. The model imperative. Human beings learn by modeling. Just do, even like other social creatures, they also learn by modeling, right? So we are especially so. And so in the socialization phase, it's just critical that the right models be always present with young people in the socialization phase, models that are intended to influence them in the best direction. Read your simple definition of this allelomimetic. Allelomimetic, it means behavior is a range of activities in which the performance of a behavior increases the probability of that behavior being performed by others nearby. Meaning, okay, if we all went outside right now, it don't have to be all of us, it's just four of us. It could be three of us. But at least three of us is another person out there. So we just go out to the street corner, we just look up. This one's looking up. Now here comes somebody walking down the street. They see us looking up. What are they going to do? They're going to look up. Allelomimetic. We have a tendency to do that. You know, one of the ways to say, now don't do this. Don't try this at home. But I want you to just be a little aware of it, right? One of the ways, I'll say you like this. What was confirmed on one of the TV shows that I watch sometimes, so you don't trip. But you do need to understand, because it's true. Maybe you have noticed this. Human beings have such a connection that if one human being yawns around another human being, other human beings around him are going to yawn too. Just look at that, right? It's just natural. And because we have this, what you call the mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R, mirror neuron, right? The way I can empathize with you, because I can sense how you feel by looking at your bodily expressions, your verbal expressions, your emotional expressions. So I empathize with you, right? God has connected us that way. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. All of us actually represent one soul, but we have a lesser sense of connection with ourselves individually. But in reality, we're all one soul. خَلَقَكُمْ وَبَعْثَكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Your creation and your resurrection is no wise except as one soul. So the idea of creating a situation where those that have the same relationship, now I'm talking about Muslims. I'm talking about Muslim girls, Muslim boys, 15, 21. We need to create more situations where they can be around each other, despite the fact that there are going to be shortcomings in behavior for all the reasons that I've said, because most of them have come from a situation where the windows have been missed. But if you're in a situation where you still have enough influence over them to invite them to come to be in a space for them or for their age group, et cetera, then that is what should be done. Why? Because of this allelomimetic quality, the influences will be distributed among them in such a way where if the context is Islamic context, Muslim context, then they are all in some way going to be improved. They're all going to be improved in some way. I won't take the time to go through numbers on that right now, but the point is that when we create those social situations, so I want to give an example. Khadija, I'm looking at him right now, Cynthia, so I'll go ahead and mention his name. His son has been exposed to Camp Khalil. And Camp Khalil, I say, and it's for all of us, you don't have to wait for it to come here, get here, be here, et cetera. You should contribute to Camp Khalil, because Camp Khalil is doing exactly what I'm talking about right now. Camp Khalil, I don't think they franchised it at all, but I encourage them to. Camp Khalil is a system that's been going on for minimally a decade doing what I'm talking about. All right? So it's my whole intention that it comes to the West, comes to the West, and we have those staff, those trained individuals that have the experience and who themselves are the founders, Bayina and Imam Khalil, they, husband and wife, they are models for what we're talking about, and then they have structured it and institutionalized an activity that does what we're talking about, and so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Hey, let's go. So inshallah, it's coming, and I'm telling you right now, don't wait for it to come. Oh, I'll make a contribution when they come. No, they need your support right now. They need your support, right? This is unsolicited, what I'm saying right now. I haven't talked to them in weeks. But the point is, that's what we should do, and that's what we should encourage, and that's what we should hope for, to establish. The activity that happened with the young man, Abdulhaq, what was the name of him? I'm sorry. What was it called? It was called what? My hearing is a fan, but it's all right. I'm unorthodox. MashaAllah. So, tell me one more time. Kawamun. Ar-Rijala Kawamun al-Nisa. I'm looking for English, and I'm hearing Arabic. Barely hearing Arabic. All right. Kawamun. It means men, right? But we need the same thing for women and girls. Same thing for women and girls. We need to have situations for them separately. We need to have situations for them together. We have to do that. I'm a grandparent, right? One of my grandchildren just passed the bridge, 7 years old tomorrow. Pardon me, yesterday. One, 8 years old right now. Another boy, 13 years old, right? So it's like, okay, what's the plan? What's the plan? Because if we don't socialize them, we don't create situations for them to have friends that are lining up with our we've abdicated. We've surrendered. With what I get, so let me start working on my excuses right now. No. Do something. Do the right thing, inshallah. Do the best thing. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ رَبَّنَا أَتَيْنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت يريد الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلصني وأنا عبدك وأنا العاهد وعدك ما استكاد أعوذ بك من شر ما استناد أبولك بنعمتك علي وأبولك بذنبي استغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for your protection. Oh Allah, purify us in our hearts, in our intention, in our worship, in our thinking. Oh Allah, help us to fulfill our obligations to you in building ummah, in establishing Khalifa in the right and in the best way. Oh Allah, we need your help. We need your enlightenment. We need the power that only you can grant. We need your aid and assistance. But without your aid and assistance, we have none. Amen. Wa alaikum as-salam. Wa alaikum as-salam. Wa alaikum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيد محمد رسول الله استوى الكثير يرحمكم الله وتابكم الله make our roads straight and even leave no space between us straight time divide us while roads are straight our hearts won't agree Allah الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
And then, of course, disperse as you must, as you may, going forward. First thing, I want to announce, this is tonight, the House of Refuge Surah sort of Fatiha National Tour. That is, this has been conducted by Ustaz Ashir Kirk. Appears to be a Bilalian. He is a Tajweed instructor. And we also have our own Tajweed instructor in-house, Dr. Zaid. Zaid, where are you at? Hey, Dr. Zaid has class online. You want to get more on that? You can holler at him in detail. However, my brother sent me this advertising for tonight. It's going to be in Vallejo, 1920 Broadway, Vallejo, California, and it's going to be who's going to be served after. And the byline is, together, let's perfect our recitation of Surah Fatiha. And it's being put on by Measured Turn, Measured Home Institute. The other is, I want to bring your attention, we have a campaign that we're beginning has been led by Brother Jabir. Where's Jabir? There he is right here. So all the details and questions you can get to him. I'm going to give you just a brush over. We're starting what's called, as we're sponsoring, supporting, endorsing, whatever, message word theme, giving circles. Giving circles. And it's a process by which a group of people get together and they make a commitment for 3 months for a certain dollar figure to be put into a pool by those individuals. And then those individuals in the group, they make a decision as to who they're going to disperse that money to. Right now, we're starting at $100 a month. But the goal is 10 to 15 people. Are we talking? Okay, let's imagine 15. Let's go with the high number. So 15. So you got 1,500 a month for 3 months. That's 4,500. After 4,500, then that group at the end of that period gets together, takes shorter, and says, okay, who we want to take this? Who we want to send this to? And boom, it's up. Ain't no books, ain't no accounts. When I say ain't no accounts, y'all know what I'm saying. Like, everybody ask you, how much you got in there now? None. It's all gone. It's just, and then we start all over. And you can raise the number, and we can create circles for different. You might want to do an education circle. Let's start with the first one first. You know, you might want to be focused on education. Someone might be focused on young, you know, entrepreneurs. Somebody else might be focused on young cultural artists, whatever. You know, just start the group, get it in, get it out, mashallah, that's it. So those are the only two I really just put you on hold for. So if you have to go, please, something. First, we're going to also say happy birthday to Dr. B. Zaid Abdul-Karim, alhamdulillah. Also, Samia Mondasa, she also had a birthday. Soraya, my granddaughter, had a birthday. Jerome Law has a birthday coming up. I guess that's tomorrow. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Women of Master War Theme. That's going to be tonight, and also men's group, second Saturday, that's going to be tomorrow, and you know how that goes. So I think that, in essence, unless there's a main thing I'm forgetting, I think that's it. Assalamu alaikum.
I don't know.